Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast, where healthcare meets business, with your host, me, Dr. Karen Litzy. And just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not to be used as personalized medical advice. Enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast. I am your host, Dr. Karen Litzy, owner of Karen Litzy Physical Therapy, located in the heart of New York City. And on today's episode, I think we set a record. So on today's episode, I think we said the word vagina more than any other episode I've ever done. So I want you guys, if you're listening, count the amount of times, let me know, tag me on social media at Karen Litzy on Instagram or at Karen Litzy NYC on Twitter, and let me know because we said it a lot. So who did I have as a guest? I had Susan Bratton, intimacy expert to millions. She is a champion and advocate for all those who desire passion their whole life long. She is a spokeswoman for Gainswave and FemiWave and is co-founder and CEO of two corporations, Personal Life Media, Inc., a publisher of heart-connected lovemaking techniques and bedroom communication skills, and The 20 LLC, a manufacturer of organic and botanical supplements that enhance vitality. So we talked about so much. We talked about why a healthy love life is good for your overall wellness. That was the basis of this conversation. So everyone, please enjoy today's episode with Susan Bratton. Hey, Susan, welcome to the podcast. I am so happy to have you on. We are going to be talking about intimacy and love life, but I think in ways that will be new to people, maybe unexpected, and I think people are going to learn a lot from you. So thanks for coming on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. It's a delight to meet you in person finally.
Yes,
and,
yes.
I'm happy you want to talk about libido and desire and arousal and the health benefits of sex. I mean, that's a lot of fun conversation, and I think some of it will be surprising to your listeners.
I think so as well. So let's kick it off with an quote unquote easy question. But why is a healthy, a happy, a good love life critical to our overall wellness? Because I don't think a lot of people put those two together.
Yeah, exactly. They don't correlate the intimacy with health. I'm such a health fanatic. I don't know if you know that about me, but I work out pretty much every day. And I did that to recover from COVID. And I have never been stronger. I've got guns, you know, good muscles. And it really has been helping my brain function. And my sex life has gotten even better. I've been working on my sex life for the last 20 years, very diligently, because for the first 20 years of my sex life, because I'm 60 now, so 20 to 40, it never really was as good as I hoped it would be. And I was like, what is it that I'm missing? And I discovered what it is that I'm missing. And I've spent the next 20 years making up for lost time and just telling people all of the things that I've learned about how the female body is so different than the male body. And that the first 20 years of my 40-year sex life, I had sex the way men want to have sex because I didn't know any better. I didn't understand anything. I never even looked at my own vulva until I was 42 years old. Like, I just was like, there's some things down there, you know? So I've had this magical awakening and this expansionary time to really reflect on what I think is missing for women in having really great sex that serves them, not just in pleasure and intimate connection and bonding to a partner, or even just in experiencing pleasure themselves, but also what it is that adds it to our health. And there's this really interesting piece of research done in Europe where 2,500 people, it was a big data set. That's a giant research data set, giant. They were shown pictures of people between the ages of 18 and 80, and they were told to guess their age. And there was this group of people that everybody guessed to be about 10 years younger than they actually were. And they were trying to figure it out. They called this group the super young. And they were trying to figure it out. And they're like, well, could it be the magnesium or whatever, you know, all the stuff that they were looking at. And what they found out was that these were the people who were having intimacy 3 times a week or more. Now, I use the word intimacy. They used the word sex. But I don't like to use the word sex because when I say the word sex, most people think intercourse. And then if they have loss of lubrication, painful sex, urinary incontinence, loss of orgasmic intensity, genital shame, other health issues, they're like, well, I can't do that. And so I really like to explain that sex is not intercourse. That came from patriarchal religious origins, where sex was for procreation only. So the only thing that mattered about sex was intercourse. And that is so darn wrong, especially for women. Because women, even though if you think about a penis and you imagine a penis as a banana, a penis is almost twice as big as what you see sticking out fully erect, because it goes in and down toward the testicles. It's like half of it sticks out and half of it goes inside. So double that. You've got a pretty sizable banana going there. Well, the whole inside of it is banana fruit, which is erectile tissue. You can peel that off, turn that fruit into a circle with a point on the top, and that's how much erectile tissue women have wrapped around our vagina. And I want to tell you some new research on vaginas too. It's really interesting. I like women to understand how our bodies work so that we can just slow the roll of our male-bodied partners, because they have some competitive advantages sexually in some ways. We have some too. And so when we think about sex, I want to broaden the landscape and say that intercourse is just a very small part of what great sex is. And so when I say intimacy, what I'm really talking about are all of the physiological benefits of intimacy, which include blood flow, a vascular event, a rebooting of your nervous system, a lighting up and blood flow to your brain by all of the different locations that are touched, because your brain literally processes the sensations that are being delivered to the skin. So it's lighting up all these different areas. Dr. Nan Rice has done some incredible stuff in the fMRI machine showing that the more locations that you touch, the lips, the breast, the tongue, the belly, the outer vulva, the mons, the labia, the internal systems, the cervical area, that all of it generates more pleasure. And so we need our hair stroked, we need our cheeks kissed, we need our necks and clavicles kissed, we need the tops of our chest above our breasts and nipples touched, we need our buns squeezed and our bellies grabbed and our thighs stroked and our feet rubbed. We need to be held. We need to be kissed. We need to be adored. We need to be worshiped. We need to be encouraged. We need to have our vulva touched on the outside, not just a couple of hard wipes on our clit and then bah, sticking things in us. You know, it's like, that's what men want, because their penis wants to be touched immediately. They're ready for penetration. They woke up horny. They had some nighttime erections. They woke up with a morning wood. You know, their erectile tissue just fills up with blood so, so quickly. It's just like goes whoop when they're ready to go. And so they're hornier than we are because of all that testosterone, and they get erect super fast. Our lady parts have a lot of nooks and crannies, and we need everything to take a lot longer to get all that blood flow, because if we have sex with a flaccid vulva, then we are shriveled instead of plumped. And that means there's less surface area, sending less signals to our brain to process as feeling good stuff, which means sex literally doesn't feel as good to us if we are not properly pleasured. And I honestly, Karen, I don't even like the word foreplay and sex, because I feel like foreplay means, oh, this is something I have to get through to get to sex, which is the thing I want to do. And it's like, foreplay is just as great a part of lovemaking as intercourse is. I love intercourse, but I love all the things. And honestly, so do our male body partners once they learn how to do it and they get good feedback and they're happy with what they get and they like the connection. Mm-hmm. And so we have to really be champions of how slowly we arouse to teach our partners to slow down and to enjoy all aspects. And most women have literally never experienced that. And so often, by the time they get to midlife, they're like, well, I can't make babies anymore anyway, so I'm just going to give up my sex life. And a lot of women, when they hit their 40s, they're the opposite. They're like, I can finally have the time and I finally have the energy to actually focus on my pleasure. And I'm looking for a partner who's willing to do that with me.
And how does that relate to longevity? Because you mentioned that yep. study and that these people who were having more regular sex or intercourse, that they look younger. And is there
10 years younger?
So is there any data to support yeah. longevity of yes. of our life? Go ahead.
So the Dunedin PACE study, which was a study done in New Zealand, and they've tracked people over many decades. It's kind of like that Harvard study. It's a very longitudinal mm-hmm. study, and this one's particularly for longevity. Now, the Harvard study, it was a men's study, but it says the right. men who are in relationship, they live the longest. And when you're in relationship, you're getting touch and intimacy, even if you're not yeah. having quote unquote, whatever you think, yeah. you think sex is.
Right.
But the Dunedin PACE report breaks down four key things that have to exist for you to know that you'll last longer than all of your cohorts. And they are grip strength, which is a marker of overall strength. So really it's about muscle. It's about getting your guns, getting your quads, getting your squats in, doing those kinds of things. So grip strength is just the leading indicator for overall body strength. You need overall body strength. You need balance. And that's a body, brain, body, mind connection. Well, sex is a body, mind connection. When you are feeling pleasure and you're like, oh, what are you doing right now? Well, actually, what I was doing was kneading your outer labia. Oh, that feels so good. Hey, when you rub, can you also put your fingers go and do windshield wipers back and forth across my mons? Because you were doing that before and that felt really good too. When you can begin to discern what's being touched and what you want and how you like it touched, because yoni massage or genital massage is a very, very vital part of female sexuality. We need our genitals manually pleasured. It's not just about oral pleasuring. It's about manual pleasuring that activates all of the different areas of the vulva. And that's very, very important for us. I'd love to talk about orgasmic cross training. That's something that I've been doing lately. So let's ballpark or parking lot that. But the Dunedin PACE study, so it's balance. Can you stand on one leg? How's your mind-body connection? How's your vestibular system? You know, how's your leg strength? Those are all things that balance does. So grip strength, balance, cognitive function is the other one. And then how do you look compared to your peers? The outside is a reflection of the inside. So if you look younger than all your peers, I mean, honestly, at 62, if I went back to a high school reunion, it would look like I was with my grandparents. Most of the people that went to my high school look like, you wouldn't even think they were my parents. You'd think they were mm-hmm. my grandparents, because I work out, I eat organic food, I cook at home, I have a lot of good sex, satisfying sex. I do the things, work on my strength all the time. So I just think it's very interesting that how you look on the outside is a reflection of your longevity. Yeah. So that's what ties it back to longevity. Plus all of the other benefits I talked about, the blood flow, the vascular, mm-hmm. you know, the vascular ability. You know, it's really interesting. I've recently been riding one of those Vasper bikes. Do you know about Vasper?
Mm-mm. No.
It's this kind of next. So I'm going to this place right now. So I work out with weights and I run the beach stairs here at my house. And I like to do every year I do the Empire State Building from the bottom to the top.
Oh, do you? I've been to that race. I haven't done it, but I've been there. It's wild.
You're New York, right?
Yeah.
I do it here, but I do the equivalent of it on the stairs here. And what the Vasper is at this place in Carlsbad, California, or Cardiff, California, that they have three different machines. They have the Vasper, they have the Carol Bike, and they have the ARX. And this is next generation workout equipment that uses high intensity interval training with blood flow restriction, cooling systems, and eccentric and concentric resistance. So you're pressing against and holding things back equally with pulling things to really make your muscles strong. Those are just incredible things to do, because one of the things I noticed after 90 days of doing that, I looked down one day, I was shaving my legs in the shower, and I looked down and I had this network, this web of blood vessels that I hadn't seen since I was a teenager, that were all over my thighs. And then the other day I looked and it's all over my belly now. You can see them. And I was working out with my trainer and he's like, look at the pump in your arms. My God, you're like a big bodybuilder now. And it's like, you need vascularization. I mean, the two of the top three things that kill us are, well, there's four things that kill most people, right? It's heart disease and stroke, which are kind of like two sides of the same coin. It's diabetes and cancer, which are also, I think, in a lot of ways, two sides of the same coin, because they're sugar. I think the sugar-based, a lot of it is, you know, too much sugar. So very interesting that these next generation fitness machines can give you an hour's worth of workout in 20 minutes. And when I saw all those new blood vessels, I was like, my heart is working. I'm not going to have cardiac issues. I'm not going to have to get a stent put in me. I don't want to have any of that stuff. I want to be able to have my good ticker working, you know, until I'm 100 years old and have no problems at all getting up and down off the floor, et cetera, et cetera. And now with the advent of things like stem cells and exosomes and PRP, we can repair so many things that could go wrong as well. So we're really in this amazing time. You know, I do biohacking, both sexual and regular longevity biohacking, and they really are all the same thing, because when you feel energized, when you have strength, you can do sex positions, your libido is high, you want sex, you've got the energy for sex. That being said, I do like an afternoon delight better than an evening type thing, because I've got more energy.
Funny. And when you're, so you had said something before, let's park this for a second, but let's bring it back.
Orgasmic cross training.
What is that? And why would someone need to do it?
What is that? I know, it's super cool. So Dr. Nan Rice, who is a neuroscientist, who's a sexual neuroscientist, she's in New York. You should have her on your show. She's amazing. She wrote a book called Good Sex Matters. And basically what she does, because she's a therapist, is she took the work of, it's a Dutch name. She took the work of this Dutch guy who figured out what the seven core emotions are. And she said, okay, here's, if you're having problems with feeling pleasure, seeking pleasure, you've got dopamine problems. If you're having trouble with lust, you know, you've got shame issues. So she basically came up with how you can overcome the emotions that are holding you back from having the sex that you want and deserve. And one of the things that she's famous for is putting women in fMRIs and having them not only be pleasured in different areas of their vulva, but also thinking about pleasuring those areas of the vulva. And it literally lights the brain up, whether you think about it or you do it. So getting in the sex is a mindset thing. It's a meditation. It's focused attention on pleasure. It's getting it out of your head and into your body. And I just loved her work where she showed that you can stack pleasure by actually touching multiple locations. So like you can touch the labia, the clitoris, the introital sphincter, the opening to the vagina and the cervix, and you can quadruple the amount of pleasure that you feel. I also read another really interesting study recently that was, it was a small cohort, less than 200, but they touched women in all these different places and said, how do you feel when I touch you here? How do you feel when I touch you here? And for a lot of women, it was not pleasurable to be touched in a lot of different places in their vulval area or on their breasts or on their nipples. They would say things like, I feel shame. I feel nothing. I feel pain because they'd never been touched in pleasurable ways, or they'd never activated the neural connection between that part of their pleasure system. Go back to the banana. We've got all that erectile tissue all the way around our vagina. Yet the only things we know about are the vaginal canal, and I've got something to say about that too, the vaginal canal and the clitoris, the tip of the clitoris. Well, there's a shaft, there's two arms, there's two legs, there's the labia minora, the labia majora, the introital sphincter, the perineal area, the entrance to the vagina, the urethral sponge, which people call a G-spot, but it's a long tube, the perineal sponge on the bottom, the cervical area, the deep cave of our vaginal cavern. And like, we're not getting any stimulation on any of that stuff. We're getting the old in and out. And frankly, friction is not our friend, especially as we age. So we're getting intercoursed like a dude wants, and because they just don't know what we want and we don't know what we want. So this is what I like, is I like to tell women, try multiple locations. It lights up all these different areas of your brain. You get the mind-body connection. You can really start feeling pleasure. And that's how you do orgasmic cross training, because what I did was I looked at, you know, for a lot of women, they don't really solo pleasure enough. We could all be solo pleasuring way more than we are. Men, they do it naturally because they're drawn to masturbate to keep their sperm fresh, just in case they get an opportunity to, procreate for their DNA. But we women, we don't get that. And so we need to actively cross train and get all of this vulval tissue really activated and connected in our mind body. And I like to recommend a lot of different toys for a woman's pleasure chest. I've looked at everything, and here's what I figured out.
These are your best recommendations.
My best recommendation.
Okay.
I've done exhaustive research for you. Thank you, Susan.
Somebody had to do it.
It was my honor. And there are 8 types of tools. I call them tools. I don't call them toys. I mean, yeah, they're playful, but I consider them to be orgasmic activation tools. And there's 8 kinds. And if you go to orgasmiccrosstraining.com, I've listed them and I've given multiple options for them. And I've noted which ones won my Quiet Vibe Awards, because I'm a hypersensitive person. I hate noisy situations. I like it very quiet. I just need quiet. Some people, they can live with like train horns and helicopters and cars honking and all that. And I just am like,
that would be me.
You can live with it?
Yeah. Well, I live right on Broadway, so I hear it all the time. Although I guess I hear it, but I feel like I've at this point, maybe I'm numb to it or I've tuned it out. Yeah.
I grew up in the country, and I just think I'm so used to the quiet that I need it.
Yeah.
But so I don't like noisy sex toys. A lot of people live with roommates or they have kids in the house. They just don't want somebody down the hall hearing them using a tool. And so I did my Quiet Vibe Awards. So those are marked on there too, which is really nice, because that is important to a lot of people, honestly. Not you. You can get the really loud ones. I recommend, if you want a really loud, really good tool, the Womanizer. It's an air stimulator, and it actually suckles the clitoral shaft and tip. And that's a really nice toy. The one that also has an extra vibrator that goes inside the vagina for the G-spot stimulation or G-area stimulation. It's a combination. That one literally is the one where when you look at yourself and you're done, your hair is just basically sticking straight up because it blew your mind. It was such a good orgasm. But I don't want toys that just stimulate the clitoral tip. I want toys that activate the labia. I want toys that activate inside the vagina. I want toys that have double duty. I want toys that deeply penetrate the tissue to increase the blood flow, to increase the engorgement, to plump up the tissue. So there's more surface area sending more signals to the biggest sex organ we have called the brain. So I really want to encourage more women to try more toys, because a woman will get stuck in a groove. She'll be like, I've had this vibrator since 1982. It's my trusty. It's the way I come. And it's like, no, it's just one way of a million ways you can have orgasmic pleasure. And the more orgasms you have, the younger you keep getting, the more happy you are, the more oxytocin you generate, the less people piss you off. I mean, even if you only did it for that, it would be worth it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You mean less cranky? Great.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, cranky lady, have a tool.
Right. Great. So great birthday presents for all your girlfriends, right?
Yeah. Yes.
In the beginning, you mentioned the word libido. So let's talk a little bit about that and how that can also reflect on your overall health. Because I think a lot of people misunderstand what the libido is, what can affect it. We had mentioned before we went on the air, I was with friends over the weekend, and one of them said that some of the women that she knows swears by some sort of powder or something like that, which... Yeah. Okay, you know, but like we said, correlation doesn't equal causation. But talk to us a little bit more about the libido, what it is, and again, why that contributes to overall wellness as well.
Yeah. Okay, good. Great question. Thank you. You're doing such a good job. I have this thing I call the libido desire arousal matrix. And this is I like to think about it as the three intersecting circles, which is called a Venn diagram. If you took statistics in college, which
the
I
Venn.
Know you did.
Yes. We all know the Venn diagram.
And your pleasure is right in the middle there. So libido is the health of your body. Your health and your libido are two sides of the same coin. When you feel like crap, you don't have a libido. If you don't have a libido, it's probably not, it almost literally has nothing to do with estrogen. That does have an impact on the thickness of the tissue of the vulva. It's a tissue plumper. That's why you look younger when you take estrogen. I mean, like, I'm soaking in that stuff. I love estrogen. And so it holds more moisture in the vaginal mucosal lining. So it's easier to hold lubrication in. So if you're low on estrogen, that impacts lubrication and sensation and things like that. But it's not what makes you horny. Testosterone is what makes you horny. If you want to take a hormone for being horny, rub some testosterone cream on your clitoris. Rub some estrogen cream inside your vagina and on your labia. It keeps down the UTIs. It keeps you from getting fragile. Those are great things to do, hormone replacement therapy. But it's honestly your gut microbiome. It's how much muscle mass you have. It's how much you move your vascular system and keep your heart rate up and do your walking and do your moving and get your butt up off the floor without grabbing onto the chair. You've got to be up and down off the floor and things like that.
100, you know, as a physical therapist, that is something that I am keenly aware of and tell all of my patients as they get older, like, this is super important. You have to be able to get up and down off the ground. Like you said, without, you know, gripping. And I mean, I have patients in their 80s who can get up off the floor without any trouble at all, not holding on to anything.
That's right. That's
which
the goal.
Is amazing.
And even not without using your hands.
Yeah,
my goal is to be 100 years old and get up with my leg strength.
Yep. It's amazing.
I just ripped both my ACLs and I was a big Sky. And you know what I realized? It's a post-COVID issue. Soft tissue diseases and damage are very much a post-COVID issue. And I had COVID really badly. So I tore my ACL. So I got exosomes. And now I'm going to go get my stem cells harvested. I'm going to have my stem cells injected into my knees. But I actually went in and Dr. Jeffrey Gross, he'd be good to have on your show. He's really great. He actually he injected into my bone. He injected the exosomes because we're literally trying to regrow my ligaments. And my chiropractor, Dr. Nancy North, she did my adjustments just right after the accident. And then she just did some recently. And she said, you're 80% healed. In 5 months, you've 80% healed your ACLs, your ligaments. Your bone grows those ligaments. They're not separate. It's not like your ligaments are one thing and your bone is another. Your bone makes your ligaments. So if you stimulate bone growth in the ligament area with exosomes, the signaling molecules for healing, you can, I'll call you in a couple months and tell you when I'm done my MRI, my second MRI, if I've grown them all the way back. That's my goal. So I believe you can regrow your body. I really do. And so when you have low libido and your body is ill, just work it, fix it, heal it. Stuff's going to happen. You have to think about yourself as being a good healer. You have to have good nutrition, good blood flow, and you just have to be like proactive and fix everything. It's whack-a-mole after a while, and you just got to whack every mole and you just keep going. I didn't miss a day of working out from any of it. We just modify, modify and regrow, regain and regrow. That's what you have to do. So that's libido is, do I feel lusty? And then desire is, how do I feel emotionally? Do I feel desirable? Do I desire my partner? That, you know, like if they're pissing you off, you got to fix that. Mm-hmm. So you want them again. You got to tell them what you like. I really love you, but all that hair that's growing your back, you got to get in the tub. I'm shaving that off. I'm just like, it turns me off. I do not want you turning into an old man. I cannot do that. Let's take care of that stuff. You know, you've got to keep, unfortunately, as women, we are Dr. Mom and we have to keep our partners in good shape too. So we have to kind of nag them to keep them going. They think they're perfect and invincible because they've got all this testosterone fooling them. But we know when we see them going downhill too. So we got to keep ourselves and our partner in really good health, and we have to want them and they have to want us. The other thing is that for a lot of couples who've been in long-term relationships, he gets tired of asking for sex when she says no all the time because he makes this big ask. He's like, do you want to have sex? And I'm like, why would I want to have sex? I'm perfectly happy doing whatever the hell I'm doing right now. But if he had said like, would you like me to give you a back massage? Would you like to have a glass of Chardonnay and tell me about your day? Would you like a foot rub? Would you like whatever? I'd be, yeah, I want to have those things. And then make it a slippery slope toward pleasure. Mm-hmm. Let me relax. Let me get into it. They don't understand that because they're all like, what's a girl?
Right.
You know, so they have to like slow their roll. I said that earlier. Then arousal is the difference between how fast they get turned on and how slowly it takes us. And women, here's what we do. We're like, well, I guess it's just me, but I don't know. It takes me like so long to get turned on. I feel like I really never get turned on even at the end of the sex. It's like, I'm glad I did it, but it's like, we think it's us. We think it's like, oh, well, all other women just must be horn dogs. And it's not, you know, it's just me. Mm-hmm. And then our husbands are like, yeah, I guess it's just you, you know, it's not. We all need to be seduced with integrity. We all need to be slowly pleasured. We all need to be given opportunities for pleasure and connection. That's what we want. Hey, I'd love to lie down with you this afternoon after we work, and I'd love to have a makeout with you. And if it doesn't go any further, it's fine. But I'd love to be close to you. I mean, you start making out and then I want you to touch my boobs, and then you touch my boobs and I want you to touch my yoni. And then I want you to, you know, this is how it works. Mm-hmm. So that's desire. Our arousal ladders are very, very slow compared to our male-bodied partners. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with us. This is right. It is beautiful. And we must honor our process and hold strong for our own needs, because we need to train our partners what we want, and what we want is different every day, because even after menopause, we're still on a moon cycle. And so that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And you are perfect exactly how you are.
Well, that was amazing. And I hope that women here, I'm listening like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I hope women are listening to this to know that, you know, like you said, intimacy could just be, it doesn't have to always be a physical connection to lead to intimacy is you expressing to your partner. This is sort of my rundown of what you just said, but,
okay, good.
Kind of expressing to your partner what you want and what you need, and having good communication is what I got from that. And being able to tell your partner what makes you happy and what makes you feel pleasure, and that it doesn't always just have to be sex, that it could be a lot of other things.
Intercourse.
Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. okay. And
yeah.
that no matter where you are in life, that's also okay. And you just have to communicate all of that, and that using tools for yourself to
yes.
help you train, cross train and
yeah.
activate is really important, because that is what helps to keep us young and
yes.
young physically, young mentally. And I would also think keeps you sharp from a,
for sure.
From,
all that
from
blood
a brain,
flow to your brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From a brain standpoint.
You have good orgasms and your brain is going,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
so
definitely helps.
All of these overall health and wellness benefits for our entire body. So mm-hmm. as I say that of my takeaway, what do you want the listeners to take away from everything that you said, which was a lot, but what are your biggest takeaways as we start to wrap things up?
I would say that sex keeps getting better as you age if you keep your attention and intention on expanding your sexual pleasure. That 20-year-old sex, 30-year-old sex, and even 40-year-old sex, they're just babies. They don't even know what they're doing yet. It just keeps getting better. That you can have 20 different kinds of orgasms, and you can learn how to have every single one. Every single orgasm is a learned skill. You, the first one you learned, then the second one you learned. I know how to do 20. And I teach all of those things. Oh, that's another thing I'd like to say, is that I have a sex tips newsletter, and it's at betterlover.com. And you can opt in there, and I send out all kinds of information, just like I've talked about right here. All this kind of stuff is what I'm always giving away and teaching people. And so if your listeners would like, if they're like, I like that girl, Susan Brown, I'd like to read some more of these sex tips. That's at betterlover.com, because I do teach a lot of that there. So sex gets better. It keeps you younger. It's really important to get moving. It's really important to allow your body the time that she needs to get fully engorged, so the blood is all flowing. If you're not a big veggie eater and you don't eat a lot of leafy greens, like a lot of them every day, and a lot of beetroot, I highly recommend a nitric oxide supplement after the age of 40. I make one. It's called Flow, which I think is a super cute name, Flow Nitric Oxide Booster. And I made mine because I couldn't find one made from organic fruit and vegetables.
Mm.
There's one other out there now. They have a funny name. I can't remember it. It's an odd name. And a nitric oxide booster really helps top up your nitric oxide stores, which is what helps get blood flow into your vulva, so that you don't get incontinence, loss of orgasmic intensity, loss of lubrication, because your vagina is not a gland. It's a muscle, and it doesn't wet itself. The way it gets lubricated is actually blood arousal, getting aroused, and the blood going from all the other places in your body down into your pelvic bowl. So if you don't give yourself the time to get pleasured, to get the blood flow down there, and you're not a giant spinach kale salad eater, which most people aren't, frankly, they mm-hmm. take a lot of time to prepare, etc., then taking a nitric oxide supplement is a super helpful thing. So I do recommend that is almost like a foundation for good sex, because it's all blood flow. Sex is mind body connection, mm-hmm. blood flow, and activating all of the tissues so you get engorged. We need a lady boner.
Perfect. What a great way to almost end the episode on. So I just want to recap two of the, and you know, just so the listeners know, we'll have links to everything in the show notes, regardless of what platform you're on. But one was orgasmiccrosstraining.com, where you can get the eight tools that you have reviewed, and betterlover.com, so that people can get your newsletter to get even more fun information. And because information is everything, right? Knowledge is mm-hmm. power, right? So the more you can share your knowledge with people, then the more they can be empowered.
I want to say one more link for you, because we've been talking so much about the vagina and ageless sexuality. Vaginalrestorationbook.com talks about all of the stack of things that you can do to reverse the aging of your vagina and vulva. So the FemiWave treatments, which are fantastic. I'm actually a spokesperson for FemiWave. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. It's a wave that's penetrated from the outside, and it doesn't go inside the vagina. It's just a wand that is rubbed on the outside. It plumps the labia. It reconstitutes the lubrication. It helps with orgasmic intensity again. It basically turns back the clock. So you could be a 60-year-old feeling orgasmically like a 30-year-old, but having this orgasms of a 60-year-old, which is way better because you learn how to do them better. Mm-hmm. So there really are learned skills. So vaginalrestorationbook.com teaches you about the nitric oxide, the FemiWave, the vulva pumping, the PRP, all of the different things that you can do to fix, like, what is your exact problem? You know, mm-hmm. like, okay, mine is thinning tissue. Mine is dryness. Mine is I can't quite achieve orgasm like I used to. Mine is my labia look like old man scrotum. That's disgusting. I need to plump that up. Mine is all those things, you know? And so that's also one of the ways, that's really the sexual biohacking thing, which is how do you keep it all in good shape?
Right.
So that you can have the pleasure that you deserve.
Excellent. And now, before we finish up, one last question, and I cannot wait for this answer, but what, knowing where you are now in your life and your career, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
Yeah. 20-year-old self would be teach every lover you ever have how to be an incredible yoni massager. Because the earlier you start with that, the more your body just reflexively responds to the manual stimulation mm-hmm. of, you know, pleasuring your genitals with their hands, their fingers. And I'm not talking about just inside. I'm talking about all around the outside where all that tissue is. It's, you know, it's not just sticking your fingers inside. It's all around the outside. Learning that. And at betterlover.com, I have a lot of yoni massage videos. You can just type in massage and all those videos will come up. So that's what I would teach my 20-year-old self, is ask for the pleasuring that you need to get the erection you deserve, to feel the sensations that are available to you that you would be missing if you don't have that.
I knew it would not disappoint. And I can say with confidence, that's the first time anyone said that.
Yay!
It's a first. Well, Susan, thank you so much. This was great. And where can people find you specifically if they have questions, social media, website? Where can people mm-hmm. find you?
Well, if you're on my newsletter and you reply to any email, I personally get it and I personally answer. And you are welcome to ask me anything you want, because your questions have made me the smart girl I am. You can also DM me on Instagram at my name, at Susan Bratton. But it's harder for me to reply there because I have to type it on my phone, which is kind of a pain in the butt. So I really would like it if you just replied to an email and I'll get it if you have
Perfect.
A question.
Perfect. Yeah. So if you best way to get in touch with Susan is sign up for her betterlover.com for her newsletter.
Yeah.
And she will actually reply to you, a real person.
Yes.
A real person. Well, Susan, thank you so much. I'm taking notes. I took down the names of the physicians you suggested as well. So I thought this was great, and it's got me, my mind is like in a million different directions. So I'm going to actually have to listen to this back in order to take some more notes and check out your newsletter and everything else. But this was wonderful. I thank you so much for coming on.
It was really my pleasure. Somebody's going to get a new tool.
Oh, gosh. Maybe. We will. Time will tell. I will give you an update. I'll have you come on in a couple of months and we'll do an update.
That'd be great.
But thank you so much. And everyone, thanks so much for listening. Have a great couple of days and stay healthy, wealthy, and smart.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to leave us your questions and comments at podcast.healthywealthysmart.com.